Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I hold that we are not the final Unite podcast out there. There is still people making cool content, but thank you for tuning in to ours. I am Zoinks, host of this podcast, alongside Bridget, of course, our always co-host, and we got a brand new guest, new to the podcast for the first time, but no stranger to the Unite Mics channel. We have Steel Agent Kyle in the house. How are you, my friend? How have you been? And for those who don't know who you are, please, a brief introduction from you.
Hey everybody, I'm Steel Agent Kyle. As Zoinks said, I am a Pokemon Unite grassroots commentator. Host a lot of tournaments on my channel, been part of a few different orgs, and you know, I just try to bring the hype to Unite because it's so much fun. As much as we like to rag on Unite, it's so much fun.
Okay, good. And Optimus joins the podcast. It's a miracle. We didn't know what could happen.
Wow, there's some big clothes.
I know, incredible. No, I feel like I'm always the resident optimist, and Bridget's like kind of in the middle somewhere, and then Deuce next is the resident pessimist. We have a good triad there, but this is good. Awesome. Welcome to the show, Kyle. Wild to me that you're still calling yourself a grassroots commentator. I mean, you've literally casted like OC, UCS tournament. Like, at that point, you're a Unite caster.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. My camera's like doing something funky.
That's right. One person does watch on YouTube, so so sorry to them, but this episode won't be uploaded for over a year. Chat, I'm working on it. we do have these episodes live every Tuesday, roughly evening, and the time is kind of yet to be determined. We're early today, for those of you joining us live, so thank you so much for tuning into the episode. We got a lot to talk about. Some really cool news happening in the Unite space, both competitively, and some interesting news and talking points happening in the community surrounding the game itself. So I think this week, we will start with some of the in-game news. Last episode, we talked a lot about matchmaking changes, because at that point, we were literally just theorizing them. I think they had actually hit the game for maybe 2 days tops at that moment, and the only piece of information we had was that Brov was crushing it, but hadn't got a single draft game. Now we got a lot more data to work with, an entire holiday's worth of games to really discuss. And I think the general consensus from the community is matchmaking is certainly not fixed. It's changed, maybe, but it's kind of hard to determine. I have my own thoughts on it, but Kyle, you're the guest, so why don't you drop your thoughts on these matchmaking changes and how they've impacted the game and your experience personally.
Usually I'm not the type of person that, hounds my teammates to see like what their win rate is or whatever, because I know that's always just gonna make me mad.
Right.
New matchmaking, I wanted to kind of see a lot of how that's going. Generally, I'm not like the best player by any means. I mostly play support. I play a lot of bot lane attackers, but I usually hover around 55% to 58% usually most seasons. Get my sticker and usually call it good there.
Cool.
This season has felt very different. It's really, really difficult with some of the teammates that you get matched with, especially early season. It seems like once you get closer to 1400, it gets a little bit better.
Okay.
But it's rough. It's rough out there right now. I mean, you're getting matched with some people that, and I can't blame the players, but when you see like 250 ranked game, 100 ranked games, and I'm like, when I played 100 games, I had no idea what I was doing either.
Of course.
So
yeah,
it's tough. It's, you know, it is what it is at this point. We can only like hope that it gets a little bit better, but it's generally been pretty rough.
Okay. Got it. Pretty rough from the optimist in the house. Tough. okay. Bridget, how about you? What's your opinions on it?
I am not sure. It honestly feels the same to me. I haven't really noticed a different quality in my teammates or the enemy teams. So to me, it just feels, you know, same old, but getting to 1600 slash getting sticker seems to be more of a feat now, I guess, which I feel like is kind of one of the things people wanted, but probably wasn't the priority when people said they wanted matchmaking to be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's a really good jumping point, I think, to go into my rant. about this whole thing. So, I mean, I called this pretty hard last time we did this podcast episode. And I actually want to make my stance clear. I am not near as negative on the new matchmaking and the changes and how the game feels currently as a lot of people are. Like, a lot of people are talking about how, you know, bad the matchmaking is, like, the quality of teammates they're getting, and then, of course, how difficult it is to get to 1600. Let's talk about the first part. Let's talk about the quality of the teammates that you're getting. I mean, that is the intent of the new system. It is attempting to abandon MMR and instead replace it by putting you in the skill tier that you are currently ranked at. That is the intent of the system. Now, whether that is a good choice or not is what we should really be debating in the first place. I think people are like, this doesn't fix matchmaking. What they're really trying to say, or what they should be saying, is this was the wrong intent. Rather than, because I do think that the system change actually did work in its favor. Where I think in the early part of this ranked season, it just didn't work. Simply because there were not enough people in all of the different skill tiers of the system yet. And not enough people had played enough games to separate them in terms of, you know, SR as the matchmaking actually works. Now, is that a good thing or not? I'll get to that in a moment. The second thing is getting to 1600. This was, I think, the biggest part of my rant in our last episode. And I think it holds true. With this new ranked system, no longer should 1600 be the norm for your average player. Like, now at this point, because we all know, Masters is the only ranked our game has. Ultra, Veteran, who cares? That doesn't exist. Like, every system in the game is intending to get you out of that system and put you into the Masters Elo. From that point, you get a literal Elo and you move up and down. Now you're in ranked. That's how it works. Because of that, they are now placing players through to average skill rating. So let's say, like, a probably the silver of another game, which is, like, you know, just under gold, which is where the majority of players land in, is probably the 1200 rating. Like, 12 to 1300 is likely the silver. You're, like, going up closer to 14 to 1500, that, or right around 1400, that's likely your gold. Maybe the higher ends are, like, your plat. Like, your the majority of the player base is supposed to exist there. And 1600 and higher is supposed to be where your diamond players hang out, closer to your masters, etc., etc., etc. I'm using, like, gamer speak. So if Unite's the only competitive game you've played before, basically I'm just tiering out the players in a more fair system, I think, than how the game currently does it. Now, that is a total mindset shift for how competitive Unite players have played. Kyle, even when you mentioned your playstyle throughout most of the seasons, you pick up the game, you grind until you get blank achievement, and then you drop off the game, right? Like, that is the system for a lot of players that has forever been. This change, I think a lot of players didn't expect it, but I have to admit, I'm kind of scratching my head as to why they didn't expect it. Like, when I read the announcement, I was like, oh, great, that's exactly what's going to change. Like, they are going to make it so that 1600 is now, like, a higher end player. Like, that is, you have to work to get there. And sometimes working to get there is winning with three sub 50% win rate players on your team. Like, welcome to competitive games. Yeah. Like, that literally is how it works. And, oh, this is, it's challenging. And then one, we're also battling the plight that a lot of games have of just really low player base as well. So where this system is intended to work, it doesn't. And great, Pimsky just put it in chat as well. Their system also isn't working as intended either, because at the 1400 mark, it is supposed to be positive 9, negative 9. But it's not. It's positive 8, negative 8 at 1400 already, which isn't where they said it would be in their announcement. And also, sometimes that point fluctuates too. I don't know. All this to say, I really do think that players have misunderstood the intent of these ranked matchmaking changes, but I also think that Unite has kind of fumbled yet again another big change in the game. I think they had an idea, they didn't exactly execute on it, and now it's kind of left players just more confused than anything, and that, I think, is kind of the worst case scenario you can have. When your general player base is confused and doesn't understand your system, and a system that is supposedly encouraging you to grind, pick up the game as much as you can, and to improve, when that system is inherently confusing and honestly frustrating, it is tough for a game to grow very tough for a game to grow there, and of course retain players. So that is, I guess, to TLDR that entire, I think, 35-minute rant I just went on. The TLDR, it is simply, I do think the system is moving in the way they want it to. I don't think it was executed properly enough. And a change like this is going to take time for players to adjust to entirely. And if they reset everybody back to Ultra every single season, this system will never, ever, 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 ever work. So yeah. There, that is my that is my end statement. Also, I think a lot of players' anger is justified that they can't grind. I think a lot of players, it's not justified. I think you're a 1400 level player. It's a lot of people. A lot of people are about to learn they are a 1400 level player now. And bummer.
That's so fair too.
Okay.
And I think it's like
sorry, I was just
really good.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think it's really good that they're doing this. I think Pimsky or someone dropped it in chat that they're kind of waiting for them to, or Shibiscus said they're just waiting for everything deleted before Ultra. And I think, I don't know if that's a way out. Like, once you get to Masters, you're always in Masters, and then you start at Masters and then you grind your Elo that way.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, they need to get rid of bot games and ranked. Bot games and ranked should just not exist. Like, there's no reason for them.
Yeah, they're not going to. Kyle, our player base is too small. They are not going to get rid of bot games and ranked. I would love them to do that. They're not. I mean, every game has them in the modern era now. Like, literally, like, I mean, maybe hyper competitive games don't. But, I mean, Fortnite's got them, right? Like, Honor of Kings has them. Like, that's the biggest game in our genre in the world. And it also has bot games and ranked. Like, it's gonna happen. But anyway, so, yes, I agree with you. It would be awesome if they did. Probably gonna have it.
Someday.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
Okay. Big so it's like that. No, but keep coping.
Yeah. I'm not. I don't mean to be that way. Okay. Bridget, how about you? Do you have any words to say about my giant rant that I just ended up having?
No, I think you're totally spot on. I'm not at 1400, so I didn't even know that the Elo adjustments up and down weren't even accurate to what they told us they were going to be. So it just leaves so much more of an open. It's like, okay, then what else isn't working? Because everyone else felt like this wasn't working at first either. But I do agree with your point that I feel like the combo starting in Ultra plus the lack of people in the different pools that we needed people to already be in for matchmaking to even get better, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure, but I'm hoping there's some more communication about it or some clarity.
Yeah.
That might be the most cope of all, but hey, sometimes they talk to us.
That's true. I think communication they actually have been getting better at in their existence, right? Like, we've had a few more posts on the website that we've read here on this podcast. So, I mean, I think we got good news coming that way. But it does feel like something they could really do a good follow-up post on. Be like, hey, so we said these changes, we said we were monitoring it, here's what we found out, here's what we're adjusting, here's why we're not adjusting something, etc., etc. It'd be a really cool post if they made that.
Would love that.
Yeah, I'd love it too. I don't know if they will, but I'd really love it if they did it too. Yeah, I just, to go back to the final point here, and they reset ranked, and if you put everybody back to Ultra again, this system just simply does not work. Like, we are going to need time to have players actually compete out over hundreds and hundreds of games to get to their proper Elo, because essentially you're making everybody make a fresh account and join ranked again at the start of every season, which is fun for some players, absolutely tragic for others, and then everybody else in the middle ground has just kind of left their hands up in the air. So, I don't know. I think they're still yet to be seen. But overall, I think the ranked matchmaking changes did not have the desired effect that the community wanted. Community never knows what it really wants in totality. But it still has been a tough one. But okay, any more words on ranked matchmaking changes before we move on?
I don't think so.
No? Cool. Okay.
I don't think I got anything else.
Sweet. Well, let's move on to our next topic. Let's go with one more bit of in-game news. Kyle, you wanted to talk about this. A new Pokemon is on the horizon. We've known about this one for a while. But I think in 2 weeks, we're going to have the release of Galarian Rapidash. Going to be coming to the game. It's going to be, you guessed it, all-rounder. And a very, very fun-looking Pokemon to boot. Really seems to be very movement speed-oriented, as well as kind of a Greedent esque play style. I mean, like, sort of the drive-by covet style of play style. Seems interesting. I think it's a Pokemon. Galarian Rapidash is a great choice. It's a really, really cool looking Pokemon. Way smaller than you think it is, by the way. It's kind of like a Ninetales in that way. It's like a way smaller Pokemon than you kind of imagined in the first place. But it looks awesome. I'm excited to play it. Kyle, how about you? Are you excited about the next release?
No. No, I'm not. I don't play all-rounders, so I don't get to love the game as much as all-rounder mains get to.
I thought you were having an all-rounder arc.
I started it. That's we'll get to that later. I think that's part of a different segment. Spoiler. No spoilers.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
I'm excited to see how it's going to interact with the game. I'm excited to see the plays that it'll have. From a casting perspective, I always love new Pokemon. It brings a new wrinkle in how teams are going to utilize the new Pokemon, because obviously they usually either get released a little bit overpowered or maybe completely underpowered and teams just ignore it. But I'm pretty excited about it.
Cool. It'll be for Pokemon. I'm glad you bring up the cast, because I know for a fact with how much that Doofenshmirtz loves the Kentucky Derby, and they're adding a literal high-speed horse Pokemon to Unite. Like, the commentary reels are going to be crazy in that regard.
Of course he loves the Derby. Of course he does.
The Derby.
How many Triple Crown references are going to be?
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be awesome.
He's probably already writing them in his little notebook as we speak. That's what I thought here.
Doofenshmirtz is horse girl coded. Smim, tweet that right now. Okay.
No way.
That would be sick. Okay. It'll be very fun. Also, Kentucky Derby Hollow Air for Galarian Rapidash. Ooh. Please. Maybe for around March time, where we have like St. Patrick's, a lot of green. Maybe we could have something go then. That'd be sick. Okay.
Pikachu that has like the derby outfit, right?
That's true.
That happened great
on Glare and Rapidash. Little spot for the horn, or you just put it on the top of the horn comically. I'm into that.
That's pretty cute.
Into that. That might get annoying. I don't know. I'm into it. Either way.
There's a lot of possibilities.
The world's our oyster there. All right, Bridget, how about you? Are you excited or not excited for Glareon Rapidash?
Similar to Kyle, I definitely will not be playing it probably, but I am. I love that it's kind of like a weird and quirky mon. Like, I feel like Galarian Ponyta is pretty popular, but I don't feel like, personally, I care for Galarian Rapidash pretty much. I assume, I mean, it just isn't as cute as the Ponyta.
Okay.
It's just not as much of a slay. But usually when mons get added to Unite, I start to like them a lot more because I like how they are animated and... Yeah. Somehow they're given more personality to me when they're Unite mons, for better 100%. Or for worse.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to have it to the game. I think it's kind of like more of an odd choice to me, at least. I love that it's like a girly pop mon, obviously. I'm very pro more of that. And I like that it's getting comparisons to like a Greedent or a Dodrio, because I feel like when those came to the game, as annoying as it was for me to see them staring at me in my lane, they were kind of like, I don't want to say like game breaking or game changing, but they shook things up in a way that was like made people excited. So
I'm hoping
it is like that similar kind of energy as to like those releases, despite how they will affect my mental personally.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, cool. Well, I guess I'm the most excited for Galarian Rapidash then. I mean, obviously, I like all-rounders. That's the role I enjoy to play by far the most. But I do play every role in Unite, unlike these two support one tricks, I guess. I don't know.
Chill out.
My captain. But hey, if you were a fan of, especially if you're still playing Unite now and you enjoy the way the game is now, imagine the $200 Hollowware that Galarian Rapidash is gonna get.
Oh, all right.
You like sparkles and move effects? Boy, oh boy, do I got a Pokemon for you. Galarian Rapidash is going to ship Hollowware, okay? And if we want this game to succeed, we gotta have Galarian Rapidash on the brain, all right? I think I posted about this on Twitter when the Pokemon was first leaked, and it was like, we call Alolan Ninetales A9 and various other nicknames, but this is our first other regional variant added to the game. I was like, what's our fun nickname gonna be for Galarian? I was like, G-Dash? Or, you know, what are we gonna call this? And so I think the Sneaky Seal posted, it was just like, everyone's just gonna call it Horse. I was like, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
We're not a creative bunch.
No. And I mean, I get it.
A9 was about it.
It, like, generates from this place of people just trying to say something quick to communicate as fast as they possibly can in-game or whatever. But, yeah, Horse or Pony, one of the two is by far going to become the main one. Grape? I don't think so, Pina. But maybe.
Enthusiasm.
Okay, great. So that is our Galarian Rapidash talk here, I think. I'm excited. Nobody else is. Let's move on. We got a fun segment. We're going to talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions at the end of our podcast. I think this will be more game-related. Likely, they could be esports-related. Who knows what our aspirations are. But for now, let's start talking about the competitive scene a little bit. That's why people tune in to your favorite competitive Unite podcast. So, first things first, we got a little bit of news. I think the bigger news that took over X, Twitter, whatever, recently, is that Ender is moving across the pond. He's leaving Canada. He's moving to Europe. He's living in Toon's basement this time. Toon learned the ways of Zugrug, of the hosting a player in a basement, and is now replicating so all the way over there in the UK. And Ender is going to be joining Nouns Esports and playing for EU. One of the best supports in North America has been kidnapped and is now going to be participating in Europe. This is wild stuff. Any comment on this big roster change? Bridget, we'll go with you first.
I personally love the reverse Toon Slim move that we got going on here. TTTV Remix, they're back, European edition. I'm so stoked, even though I'm very jealous that EU has Ender now and we don't. I'm just excited that Ender is back playing, because I'm a pretty big fan of his streams. When he was releasing YouTube videos, or when he does, I'm pretty tuned in. I like hearing his perspective on things. I think he's a really smart player, and I think it's a good fit all around. I know, obviously, they're all very close and seem to get along pretty well, so I'm pretty excited to see what they're cooking up, honestly. I think it's also just, like, good for the scene, too, TBH, so pretty excited.
Totally agree. How about you, Kyle?
I love the move. Nouns fantastic already this season. I think they're only going to get better with Ender in there. I think not only is he just a fantastic support, but I think just him as another brain in the room, another person to kind of keep them cool, calm, and collected, to kind of like help out with Gotlu. I know Gotlu really wanted Ender to like coach him, so it's kind of like that as well. And I love watching Nouns play. It's only going to be more fun. A little bias is, you know, I get to, you know, cast with Gatlu every once in a while over at Unity Clash event. So I know he's really excited. I'm really excited for Nouns, so I'm probably the biggest Nouns fan now.
Okay.
Hey, watch it.
Get in line. I think there is a whole lot of folks who have also been picking up the noggles.
Top 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. I think this change makes sense on so many different fronts. Obviously, from a player front, I think he'll slot in extremely well. No one is under the impression that Ender has rusted at all in his very brief period of retirement. I don't think that is the case whatsoever. He's going to be stepping in. I mean, Blaine been absolutely crushing it. They've been winning still while he's just been filling in for the time being. So shout out to Blaine. But I am excited for Ender to be joining that team. I think you already mentioned, at least both of you mentioned, the mentality thing is going to be really cool for Ender on that roster, I think. Also, I mean, just W pickup for Nouns Esports as an organization. I mean, Ender, if not, like, he's definitely within the top three of content creators and just in terms of raw numbers on Twitch, YouTube, etc. Yeah. For Unite right now, he's joining one of the bigger spaces. That's really, really exciting. And I got to admit, I'm just really happy when Nouns Esports picks up big W's like this in the scene. I mean, they're an organization who have been in Unite since the start. Like, the first World Championships is when Nouns Esports has been in and have been investing in the scene this entire time. They found some really great players. They got lucky. They were smart about it. You make the definition. But they've been doing really, really well this entire time. So it's cool to see Ender going to a successful organization already. And you already know it's just going to make that organization even better. So really, really big pickup for a lot of things. There is a part of me that is sad that Ender is not behind a microphone doing commentary somewhere. I know that was his intent, and I guess it just unfortunately didn't work out. I think it would have been really, really cool to have Ender a part of a broadcast somewhere. He just brings a brain that I think is really understands this game a whole lot better than a lot of people in the space. Would have been really cool to have a perspective like that. But the good news is that Ender is a really fantastic streamer, and it's going to be bringing that content basically no matter what. So it's a bit of a sad thing, but also an exciting thing in that way as well. So shout out to Ender, and I still got a job. So W.
we'll take it. All in.
All of us uniquely, individually win. Let's go. Excited there. I do think that if Ender is participating at any of these in-person events as a player, I think it would be nigh on impossible for anybody who's working commentary to not pull him onto the microphone at some point. In an interview or a desk segment or something. I think we have not seen the last of him on the main broadcast. That is for sure. But cool. Yeah, so big interchange to Nouns. Also coming out of retirement, and a long line of 6-month Unite retirements continue.
Hey, this was a bit longer.
This was a bit longer, to be right, fair.
Fine.
Right?
Fine. Like, it technically
most of them are like 1 month.
Most of them are 1 month.
That is true.
Most of the retirements are like worse than Brett Favre.
That is true. Okay, fine. I will relent. You are correct. It is the longer one. But in his tweet, he did mention that he missed competing most of all. So maybe that makes my last point a little moot. I'm so happy that he's getting to do what he loves with people that he loves. I get to live in a cool new place. I think that's always really fun. I remember we saw Overlord tweet about that forever ago when they finished the 1 year. He's like, hey, I'm actually like interested in moving to a different region. He's doing school online. So he's like, I kind of be wherever. So if like anybody in APAC wants to form a team, hit me up. Like, that's pretty cool. So I'm glad that, you know, players get to have a lot of fun, continue their careers. It's exciting. Let's get into the other exciting news. This weekend, we got the January UCS Cup happening everywhere, as well as the final week for the Asia Champions League before playoffs. So the final regular season week for the Asia Champions League, which is really, really cool. We'll probably talk about that more next episode when we know the final results of that. Maybe do some predictions for ACL playoffs. That'll be really exciting. But for now, let's talk about the January UCS Cup. We're going to focus in on North America. That's what I cover. I know Bridget and Kyle, I'm assuming you guys are going to be doing some kind of qualifier broadcast for that tournament as well. You're not touching EU at all, are you? Am I incorrect on that?
No, I believe... Okay. A lot of the day one broadcasts are either on Gotlu's channel with like Unity Clash people or on Kello's channel.
Sick. Okay.
Seen it both ways, I think.
Sweet. Okay. Well, you got a lot of spots to go. Smim is calling the January UCS, aka the Washed Cup. Smim, you're participating in January UCS? That's crazy.
Sneaky still needs a tank.
Sneaky does need a tank. Let's go. I'm actually so pumped that Sneaky is playing in January UCS. That's going to be awesome.
Me too.
It's going to be a lot of fun teams to play. But let's talk a little wider. We just talked heavy on a player and a team. So let's continue that discussion on teams. Any team that we think is the clear favorite head into the January Cup. North America's now had 3 different champions, if you want to consider LAIC in that conversation. If we're just talking regionally, 2 different champions. But who do we think is taking home the whole tournament this time? Repeat winner? Brand new winner? What do we think? Kyle, how about you?
I mean, it's always hard to go against LG.
Is it? They've lost two tournaments in a row.
That was going to be the next sentence.
Okay.
But they obviously haven't won one yet this season. I think it's time. I think they're due. Mm-hmm. They've been very close both cups. I think it's their time to shine. I think they'll finally close the deal, close it out. They're going to have a hard time, though. Nemesis looked fantastic last tournament, and obviously so did Orange Juicers. I think those are obviously the favorites. That's probably easy to say.
Mm-hmm. I think you could toss Kiss into that conversation, too.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next thing. Kiss looked fantastic on Underdunk this past weekend. Okay. Or not this past weekend, this past week. And then
who's on Kiss again?
It's like Oblivion, Celestial.
So it was Zephyr in the December comp.
Yeah,
I guess. Once upon a time. Loosely, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, now they're going by Kiss.
A lot of good teams, though. I think those are probably almost shoo-ins for top eight, but weirder things happen. It is Unite after all. There's still Rayquaza.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah. Okay. That's a whole different discussion topic on its own. I will rant about how Unite is actually not a high variance game until the day I die. We had a back-to-back world champion. That doesn't happen in a game with whatever. Bridget, how about you? Who's your pick to be winning the January UCS tournament?
I am gonna put my money on OJ, I think. Mm-hmm. I think after winning the AOS Cup qualifier, I feel like they're probably in, I would think, pretty intense practice mode, getting ready for that, mm-hmm. since that's pretty imminent next month, and maybe coming for vengeance after getting third in December Cup, so I'll put my money on OJ.
Okay, I like it. Yo, Rex, good to see you again. Your pick is Nem? All right. I see you, Rex. Interesting. I really do think Nem looked really good. I kind of want to predict them just for the sake of being different here a little bit, but I am going to agree with Bridget. My pick is also going to be Orange Juicers returning for the win. That's for a few reasons. I think metagame, the way it stands, still just... this team's really good at this meta. I think they'll be fine. Not to say that Nemesis isn't. I think EFEN kind of came alive in that grand final tournament and really like took off with a few of their picks. I think a few things go differently. All of a sudden, they're tournament winners. So, they were tournament winners. I think they could make the run back. That is huge. But we'll see. I'm also going to line up with OJ, though. I think they're going to take their performance back, like Bridget mentioned, in preparation for AOS Cup. You know, having that travel, there's obviously a much bigger incentive to play hard, to go through everything they can. I think that team can make it happen. I'll present some different arguments when we talk about meta a little bit later. But, okay, so those are our picks to win it. How about maybe a little bit of a sleeper team? A team not within kind of the champions that we've had so far. A non-LG, OJ, or NEM squad that we think can win it. So I already mentioned Kiss. I actually think I'm going to... I mean, we haven't really talked about T3 in a minute as well. Mm-hmm. A roster that's really, really good. Rush Hour, still out here, okay? Colin Tang is still making top eights every single tournament. There's still stuff. Team YouTube didn't have the performance maybe they wanted last tournament, but they still made top eight. They could also make a huge run. So there's a lot of options out there. Maybe even if you want to go deeper in the well. April bringing up Ignorance. That'd be another good squad.
Love Ignorance.
That'd be really cool. I like that a lot. Okay. Let's start with Kyle this time. Any sleeper team? Not even really sleeper team, but like I guess a dark horse is a better description of a squad.
I have three that I'm really looking out for. Ignorance is always on there for me.
Okay.
Mostly, and I think I said this at NAIC when I got on stages. I run into them so often on ladder, and they wash me every time.
Yeah.
So I just root for them every time I can, so I can prove that I'm like semi okay at this game because we win against them every once in a while. That's one of the teams. Brouhaha. If they signed up yet, but they're the winner of Underdunk this past week, and they took down Kiss.
Okay.
And then my favorite team, Version One. Always got a root for Whaley.
Cool.
Whaley and Rustic.
Yeah, that's a good squad. Yeah. Richmond one's great. I mean, a very consistent team. Haven't really broken into that, like, you know, big wig top eight quite yet in a UCS tournament, but does feel like a team that's kind of waiting in the wings to do just that. Not a lot of teams signed up early yet. Gamma's shaking their fist at the screen somewhere. So people get in there and sign up. I want to put in Don't Sleep. Ian is a dark horse contender. Ooh, yeah, yeah. It's like Ty's team, Bats, Kirtan, all on that squad. I mean, really, really incredible team. Can make some magic happen in this tournament. So maybe they'll be my dark horse team to at least make it the top eight. If I was to pick a team that hasn't won yet to win the whole tournament, I am going to go with... Man, I just really want T3 to do it. They've just been a little inconsistent. I'm going to go with YouTube. A rare Zoinks YouTube prediction. Ooh. I'm going to go Team YT. I think Team YT could genuinely win this tournament. Especially if they're playing with Zen this tournament. I've heard they're supposed to be. So, if they are...
He is on the roster.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at the StarGG roster. I'm like, they're in there. So... We'll see. Okay, but how about you, Bridget?
Yeah, that's exciting. Zen is officially on that YT roster. I know they initially had announced that, but had the Pikachu sub, the perma Pikachu sub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last the
time.
Forever, the career sub.
Yeah. not a bad guy to have, but I'm not sure. I feel like you guys have mentioned definitely all the bigger underdog teams when you were like, oh, a team that hasn't won before. I'm like, LG, lol, they're my dark horse. But
good choice.
Cold. I think the one I most consistently root for is Ignorance. They just really made a... I always liked them, but seeing them at NAIC, they just really made a fan out of me, seeing them on stage and stuff. So, sure. And I just love that they've been together literally since UCS like started, like they that is the same five people, and they will not change their usernames, and they'll not afraid to do some silly stuff. So
landmark players, truly.
Yeah, tentpole.
How good are in person
getting washed by them?
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to suffer for success. How goated are Unite in-person events, by the way? Like, all these, like, major teams that people love, they're huge fans of, can all be traced back to, like, LANs, I swear. Like, Ignorance, true. And I feel like a lot of the members of T3, like Sobe, Zillipure, like, even those squads, like, they gained so many fans when they played live in New Orleans. That was huge. Ignorance the same way. Let's trace Nouns back. Second place at a European LAN, a Desu with a Dragonite card to camera. I mean, these are just iconic moments that have now kept this like team in the competitive zeitgeist forever. Like there's fans so much in like in droves for squads like this. Obviously, there's like players that just are big streamers and stuff that have followings. But then you trace back and you're like, teams that have had those big moments on LAN, they just get new fans. You don't even need the streams, you know. It'd be great if they had them. You don't even need the streams. You're still just a big fan, so I think that's awesome. So always a big fan of Unite LANs, popping up players, making them look great. So cool. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the metagame. Has anything at all changed between December Cup into January Cup? How much do we think has shifted in terms of meta? Anything?
I would be very surprised if we saw much different bans, other than, I guess, adding Darkrai to the bans more.
Allegedly. I've heard rumors.
Darkrai.
I've heard rumors you might not need to. Yeah. So we'll see. That Pokemon might be on the ban list. I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's my only kind of variable, but I feel like Psyduck, Leafeon, Maridon... Umbreon, like, it's all, I don't really feel like, even Garchomp, even though getting nerfed, I still feel like it's still, I don't know, necessarily ban-worthy, but definitely an option. I think definitely an option.
Okay. Yeah. I see chat mentioning Blastoise and Buzzwole. Yeah, those are two Pokemon that are definitely back, a lot better than they were. I'd say Blastoise is probably going to see a little bit more play than Buzzwole. Yeah. That being said, if we're talking about strictly North America, I think we will see a decent amount of Buzzwole. Our region does like it.
Yeah.
We have a few Buzzwole players, like, kind of through and through. Like, I'm looking at, like, OG, Fui especially, like, loves that Pokemon, kind of both of those, but mostly the Buzzwole, so... I think we'll definitely see at least some Buzzwole. To what success, I'm not sure. We'll definitely see a little bit more Brawl Pokemon, which is kind of been where the meta seems like it's flowing. One Pokemon that I think we're going to see a lot more of is Serilege. I think we're going to see a lot more Serilege than we did in last tournament. It feels like this meta is so much more about up close and personal team fights. Attackers, if they can get Mew or Maridon, are going to be sitting on those. But other than that, we're starting to see more melee bot. Like, it is a lot of... I don't know, the attacker role is struggling, it seems like, at the moment right now. Maybe Inteleon, if you have a good Inteleon player, and kind of the same argument with Espeon, but other than that, it feels like we're seeing a lot of punch. Should we see more A9? Absolutely. Will we? I don't know. That's kind of where I am approaching this meta at. Probably no Zarina. That would be sick if we did, though. But probably no Zarina. I am saying more Serilege, potentially more Fire Spin Armourouge. Which I guess is an attacker, technically. But
I guess.
Who knows?
I think there's a couple of things that we'll also see. Saw some people toying around with Petalgiga Venusaur again.
Because of
exactly the same reason why Armourouge is kind of popping up. But I think the other thing to think about is Hoopa is back. Obviously they had that bug before where it was banned in
That's
December
fair.
Cup.
We see a lot.
So we won't see Trick anymore? Question mark? Maybe? I don't know. I've seen it a couple of times competitively, and I think having it banned has kind of opened up some people's eyes to Trick's not too shabby. And then the other thing is I've seen some Tinkaton.
Tinkaton will be
Tinkaton will be available
now.
Tinkaton. Kiss Kiss played a little bit of Tinkaton in Underdunk.
Okay.
And Celestial kind of popped off every single time.
Do you think a lot more players than Celestia will play Tinkaton? The only reason I make that question is because Tinkaton is a pick that you only pick if you genuinely think you're better than the other team. Like, that is a Pokemon where you need to win early and, like, or else you are doing nothing for the remainder of the game. So I think a player like Celestial is a player that genuinely believes he's a lot better than other players, you know? He's very confident in his own gameplay, and therefore he can make Tinkaton work. I don't know if we'll see a lot of players outside of that. Yeah, maybe we could see some, like, really good, I think maybe an Orange Juicers or a Luminosity could pick it up, but I don't know if we'll see too much of it. I think a lot of the safer picks, like Blastoise especially, will be making a lot of splashes in the tournament. So kind of where I'm leaning, but we'll see who knows where we'll end up. More Mamo likely, if we're seeing a lot more melee, which I'm always a huge fan of, but okay, I think that's kind of all the theory crafting we can do in the meta right now. If there was a balance patch, feels like forever ago, so I don't know, we'll get into a little bit more of that. I think it was a good one though, we didn't really talk about it on the podcast, I don't think, so sorry. Watch the January Cup and then you can see what's going on in it. Okay. For our final segment of the podcast, we had kind of a fun one. We want to do some New Year's resolutions. It's now 2025. Pokemon Unite still exists. The dead rumors be damned. The podcast and the game still exist. So we wanted to have some New Year's resolutions going into the brand new year for all three of us, according to Pokemon Unite. So I asked my co-hosts here if they could come up with some before the podcast, whether they have or not. Don't know, but we'll also, I think we will do something right after it as well. So let's start with our individual ones. Kyle, I believe you alluded to one of yours earlier in the show. What is your Pokemon Unite New Year's resolution?
Bridget kind of alluded to it a little bit ago, is I want to break out and branch off of my comfort zone. I don't play a ton of all-rounders and speedsters, so I want to try to get involved in playing a little bit of more of those. It is a little bit harder in solo queue in the sense that, like, I always feel like the team never picks a supporter and a defender, so there's a lack of them, so I have to be, like, intentional about it. So
Okay.
That's the goal.
Should we make, like, rubber meets the road, like a physical goal you can reach? Is there, like, a green badge on two all-rounders before the end of 2025? Okay. Like, is there something we can do here?
Okay. I have one on Lucario just because it's my favorite.
Okay, well, a different one than Lucario.
Season one. let's agree.
Well, unless you want to play a bunch of Lucario, let's just say it's the next badge on Lucario and a badge on something else then.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Two badge upgrades on an all-rounder.
Two upgrade badges.
Yes, there you go. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, how about you, Bridget? Do you have a New Year's resolution for Pokemon Unite?
I think mine would just be getting more into casting and more practicing in tournaments and whatnot. Kyle has taken me under his wing. Zoinks has helped too, I guess, but yeah. I'm just kidding.
I guess is crazy.
He's always so offended. I was like, oh, Kyle said he would help me. And he's like, I could help you. I'm like,
I'm right here. I can hear Zoinks say it.
Quite literally. So I like, would
Bridget,
like to...
We talk daily. It's fine though, whatever.
I know. So, yeah, I casted my first underdunk last week, I guess. Yeah. It feels like I'm so disoriented on the weeks, but with the Sneaky Seal, we had so much fun. So, yeah, just looking forward to hopefully doing more of that.
Cool. That's awesome. Sorry. Twitch chat did ask what happened to the whiteboard. It is still in the room. I chose this like holiday period to rip apart this bedroom that I'm in and reassemble. So I have until this weekend to fix it for January Cup. So it is, this room is under renovation right now. And by renovation, I mean rearranging. That's all it is. Okay. New Year's resolution, according to Unite, for yours truly. One, I just want to play the game a whole lot more than I have been. I've been taking a decent amount of breaks throughout this last year from the game, which I'm not super happy with. So I want to get a gold badge on my first Pokemon, which doesn't matter which one. I just want to get a gold badge this year. I have only green badges on any Pokemon. I only have a handful of them. I am a serial play everything in the roster. I have games on every Pokemon. I hate playing the same thing twice. And I love just playing every single Pokemon that's available. So dedicating myself to gold badging something. And then the other one is, we are going to be trying to do a whole lot to the podcast and the channel over the next year, to Unite Mics. We want to bring Unite Mics back kind of in a, I don't know, some cool way. So look out for that. Well, that's kind of an ambiguous resolution, but we're just going to dedicate a lot more time to the Unite Mics channel here on Twitch and definitely on YouTube. So make more on YouTube. Twitch is probably going to kind of stay the same. But more on YouTube.
Don't get too excited.
Yeah. You Twitch heads just chill out. But we'll check out more over there. We'll be doing some cool stuff there. So I'm excited about that. But that's kind of a more to come resolution. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think that's our resolutions there. Now, the fun segment I wanted to do. This is a fun meme segment that I've seen done on some podcasts before. We are going to make a New Year's resolution for each UCS region in TPCI. So we're not going to do any of the Eastern regions. I just don't think we know those communities well enough. We are going to make a New Year's resolution for each of the regions. So that is, it'll be fun. I will start with, the low-hanging fruit is there for OC, so let's just get rid of it. For OC's New Year resolution, their resolution is in one tournament to have double-digit entrance. That is going to be the resolution for Oceania in 2025.
Are you writing these down? You need to write these down.
It'll never happen. Do we need to? Okay, I'll put it on the whiteboard.
We had 12 for December, or AOS Cup, I think.
AOS Cup, oh no, not the EU qualifier paid travel tournament. All right.
Hey, they have five already.
So far, we think we have seven for OC.
Okay. Double digit might be too low. Let's up it. Let's go 20 teams. Their New Year's resolution is to get to 20 teams.
Okay.
Come on, OC.
No, let's meet in the middle. I'm revising it three times now because it's the rule of threes. Let's meet in the middle. Let's go. They have a full top 16 bracket.
Okay.
They rounded a full top 16 bracket. That is what I will land on. Okay. That is the New Year's resolution for OC. Do either of you have one planned for any of the planned? Can either of you come up with one for any of the regions?
Nothing like super, I feel like super great about.
Okay. Any soft launch? We can always say one and then retool it. We retooled the OC one a ton.
It feels hard to do like Mon selection because you don't know like what the...
No, but for this, I think it works. You know?
And I hit all their guard world.
Yes. Okay. Yes. A New Year's resolution. North America gets 80% or up on Gardevoir Unite moves. That is huge. Oh, I'm down. Landhands, yours is also very good in chat. I see it. Those of you watching on YouTube and Twitch can see it. But yeah, that one also I'm down for.
That might be a stretch goal.
It might be impossible. Yeah. But we will say NA hits 80% or up Gardevoir Unite moves. That'd be sick. Okay, I'm down for that. Kyle, anything for any of the other regions?
I'm going to say a team other than Nouns from EU makes top 16.
At what? At Worlds?
At Worlds.
Okay, okay. So a Worlds-based resolution. EU, you're going to get the gang together. One other team other than Nouns has got to make groups. Let's go. Okay. EU, time to lock in. I like that. I like that one a lot. I'm going to have one. A team other than Fusion wins in Latin America South.
There we go.
I think technically it's already happened in one of the months. I think Fusion finally got upset. But I will continue.
Yeah.
New Year's resolution for LATAM South is a team other than Fusion. Because I think Fusion losing, they're going to get mad. And they're going to keep winning. So, to counter that, I think one team has to beat Fusion one more time before the end of 2025.
Okay.
It's my New Year's resolution for LATAM South. Also, what's going on, Dupes Next? Welcome to the chat.
Dupes Next. I'm writing these
down.
What
else we got?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Bridget's got them written down. I'm so glad you had the foresight to write them down, because I did not.
After you were writing them down and you didn't respond, so I was like, I don't think he's writing them down.
No, okay.
I want to hold ourselves accountable.
Okay, we need Brazil and Latin America North.
Okay.
And a challenging one. Definitely a challenging one. Okay, I will have one for Latin America North. And this, I will say, is a bold call, but their New Year's resolution is to win an international tournament.
Ooh.
I love this region so much, and I really think they're capable of it. And they've never done that. They have never rose to that occasion. But heck, they can do it. EUIC, NAIC, Worlds, or we'll extend it all the way to LAIC next year, still in 2025. One of those tournaments. They can take down. That is their New Year's resolution. LATAM North locks in this year and takes it down.
I love that. I think LATAM North is cooking this year, so.
All right. Let's go.
I believe in them.
Bridget, do you have a Brazil-related one?
I'm really trying. I'm not. Uh-huh. They're just perfect already. How do you resolute?
Okay.
But you don't need to.
Kyle, do you have one? Because I kind of have one.
I have one for the West in general.
Okay, we can leave the West in a moment. All right, the New Year's resolution for Brazil is one other player from Brazil becomes marketable. Okay? We have one other player other than Baby Mazo blow up internationally. Like, don't get me wrong, there's like popular Brazil players in Brazil. I want international superstar Brazil player, like global, like Mazo. You know, time to take over. We need someone else in the interview packages at these international tournaments. Let's get, Lel. Lel, honestly, is kind of crushing. I mean, we could see a little bit more from Lel, maybe. But we could. We could see it from Lel. I say Olivio also is strong, but now Mazo's teammate. That makes it tough. So we'll see. But I think Lel on Tuzi now, you know, on their own thing. Falb should be.
Falb is, I feel like, a standout.
But I'm like, but player notoriety, like, player, everyone's saying that player good is different than that player marketable. You know what
than
I mean?
Baby Mazo in chat. Yeah.
Like, I want Baby Mazos in chat to exist for another player from Brazil. That's their resolution for New Year's.
I understand. Yeah, I think Soph has a good chance.
She's there. I mean, okay, resolution done. Lock, pack it up. Check. 1 week in. We're good. All right, sounds good. Soph Chan already got it. Good to go. All right, so Kyle, you said you had a New Year's resolution for the West.
Yeah, I think a majority of the top eight being from the West is a resolution.
Whoa.
I think it's pretty unrealistic.
Okay.
But we'll see.
So what top eight this year was what, 3-5, I believe? For East versus West?
Wasn't it Fusion, Nouns? Was it just Fusion and Nouns? Who else made top eight?
Yeah, wait. It might have been 2-6.
It was bad.
I'd have to check, but let's see.
Yeah. Someone, Bridget, Liquipedia that.
Fusion, Fennel. Wait. Fusion, Zora, Onik.
Yeah.
Fennel, Talon, Zeta, Cakalock, nouns.
Okay, so it was 2 and 6. It was 2 and 6. It was nouns, fusion, and then everyone else was from the east. Okay, fair enough. So we gotta really turn things around.
Improvement.
4 out of 8.
Sure, 50% share is pretty good. I'll take it. Yeah. I think year one would have been 50%, right? But that's kind of because they put the groups east.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think the West in year one was actually like pretty strong comparatively to the East. I mean, we had an all West grand finals. So, you know, take that for what you will. But so things have changed, you know, the market's different, et cetera, et cetera. But okay.
Yeah.
There it is. Those are our New Year's resolutions. If you're watching this in future time over on YouTube, whenever we put this up there, make sure to let us know what your New Year's resolutions are relating to Unite or anything at all. If you, you know, if you're resolving to be like, I'm going to paint my house, I want to hear it. So let us know in the YouTube comments there. And I think Spotify technically has a comment section. So, like, let's use it, you know? Click the button. Let's try it out. That's going to do it for us here at Overdone. Kyle, you were our guest, though. So is there anything you would like to shout out before we close up shop here?
Saturday, join myself and my lovely guest up top. Bridget's joining me.
I'm gonna be
Saturday, along with Husky and Ribbon for day one coverage of the January Cup.
Cool.
So, if you want to see who's gonna be making top eight or at least the majority of the matches, we're gonna try to cover as many as possible. And then I have still a pretty much at least one person from most teams, but if I don't have somebody on your team, I may reach out or just shoot me your friend code. I'll get you added and we can add you into the potential
get Sneaky Seal added no matter what.
Sneaky Seal added. I want the sneaky POV.
I'll make sure that you get to cast that one because that I think that would be good entertainment. And then on that note, put Spectate on, please.
I remember the days that I was just a monthly giant Discord DM I was sending out to so many. I was like, hey, just a quick reminder, have Spectate enabled on. That'd be awesome. Okay, how about you, Bridget? Anything to plug before we close up?
I don't think so. Yeah, just really looking forward to January Cup this weekend, watching it live on Kyle's channel for day one on Saturday. Should be a pretty good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all I got cooking right now.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Twitch.tv/SteelAgentKyle. I'm assuming that's just called out right there, right?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep, that's it. Nailed it.
Cool. All right. Well, make sure to tune into Kyle's channel if you want to catch all of that North American qualifier action. Other channels will be covering the other regions. I believe we mentioned Gatlu's channel and Kello's channel will probably be covering some of the EU qualifiers as well if you're up early in the morning NA time. But otherwise, we will see you all next week. It'll be post-January Cup. It'll be post-regular season Asia Champions League. There's going to be so much to talk about like there is almost every single week here on Overdunk. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.